Welcome to Watching Westworld, the officially unofficial podcast for Westworld on HBO. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And we just got done watching Season 2, Episode 6, titled Phase Space. This is our initial impressions. Phase Space is hard to say five times fast.
Phase Space.
What did you think of the episode?
Well, my old buddy Kim Renfro got reacquainted with her at the Game of Thrones con, or Con of Thrones.
Uh-huh.
And so she got the five screeners in advance, and she didn't see this episode, but she said the scuttlebutt was, it's a game changer. And I'm like, well, if no one's seen it,
yeah, the
Westworld showrunners are saying it's a game changer. Okay,
right.
We'll see.
Jonathan Nolan's mom is saying that.
Yeah.
She's very happy with her boy's work.
But I do think that if you're a casual watcher, this is where the people that don't listen to our speculation, like, their minds are blown, because, like, the game has definitely changed. It's just, this was one of three or four very popular theories that that the Cradle's entire purpose is to sim out Westworld to, like, as a QA, a continuous quality improvement thing, and that Ford had backed himself up into it. Mm-hmm. And
I think the most interesting thing about that is why.
Yeah.
Why? What exactly is this plan? You know, and there's a lot of speculation around that too, but they don't reveal any of that in this episode. So.
And I think the other thing they're doing in these episodes is kind of like calling into question what that even means. Like, is that really Ford? Because like with Teddy, like, so there's a lot of stuff that I really liked in this episode. For example, Teddy's changes and how it's very unsettling, and how maybe Dolores isn't quite sure of what she's done, or maybe she, it felt very like a Twilight episode, like a Stepford Teddy. Stepford Teddy wife that has, like, oh, I just, you know, he'd be the perfect man if I just removed his two or three imperfections, and, like, he's not even the same guy anymore.
Oh, not at all.
And so I think that they're playing with the idea that, like, very small changes can have these, like, you know, chaos theory, butterfly wing flap effects.
And also,
I really like that.
Like, the stuff that Elsie is talking about with the simulations in the Cradle. She believes that they're just, they're actually people in there, you know? Whereas Bernard is saying, hey, they're just data. I feel like they're pushing into that concept as well.
Right.
And when you look at a simulated Ford, it all is kind of a piece, you know?
Well,
is this really Ford?
Well, that's, you know, like every time like humans are presented like a Matrix scenario where it's like, oh, what if this is all simulation? It is an unsettling feeling, right? Well, if you think that these are people or at least potential, you know, have the capacity to become people, it's hellish. Like, that's their Matrix. And instead of providing power and sustenance to machines, it's just providing amusement and, I don't know, maybe a way to live forever. There's always that stuff, too. But
no, I like this episode a lot. I thought it was a good mix. It didn't give me that whiplash feeling that I was talking about with the last two episodes, where one week it was all theory busting and it was all, like, plot, and then the next week it was all emotion and Maeve. It was kind of a
this
good
is a nice
mix of both
of
those.
Because some of the strongest material continues to be stuff with William and his daughter.
Yes.
Like, those fuckers had me thinking that, because I was in the back of my mind, I'm, you know, Kim's like, game changer, in the back of my mind, and I'm like, it would be kind of wild if the man in black chooses his daughter over the park and, like, kind of, like, does the full hero turn, which is kind of like, they've been setting us up for that, and I think that really worked on me, because for a brief second, I thought, oh, he's going to, and but then as soon as he says, let's get up at sunrise, and the sunrise came, just the way they shot it, and the musical cue, and the way they shot her waking up, I'm like, damn, they got me. And also, maybe him getting his daughter drunk a bit was to make sure she slept extra heavy, so.
Right, so when the horses ride out, she doesn't hear the clomping of the hooves.
Yeah.
And it was a really excellent performance, not even just from the two actors in that scene, but from the two characters. You know, the man in black is putting on an excellent performance for his daughter here.
Yes.
Tricking her into thinking the same thing that we are, as an audience, are thinking.
Well, I mean, I think that there is the genuine grit. Like, it's right there below the surface. So he's able to tap that, like, you know, the tears in his eyes just to, like, sell the effect. I think I think he is sad himself, like in a self-loathing, self-destructive way, that he cares more about this than his daughter's happiness, because she's laying it all bare. Like, Dad, I'm sorry. I stepped over the line by saying it's your fault Mom died.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just come with me and not kill yourself so that both of my parents haven't done this,
God.
That would, like, I'm really
devastating.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And he's like an addict that's going to sell his child down the river for another hit.
Well, I think
and
what
that is sad, and I think he knows it's sad, but he also is powerless against whatever hold this place has on him.
Well, she had him. She had him until she mentioned how she'd take a ride on the pleasure train, and he just did not want to hear that.
That was pretty. That was pretty well played. Yeah. The pleasure palace, and I rode there for a few days.
Uh-huh. Pretty good.
That was cool. What about, man, I think the stuff that's going on with Ghost Nation is pretty fascinating, too, because they wrote up the Maeve. I mean, there's a couple things I'm not sure about Maeve. I'm going to kind of, like, attack it, and I'm going to defend it. But the stuff that I really like is I catch it to riding up to her, and you think that, because so far we've had this theory that, oh, he's just trying to save the humans, but he addresses her and says, you and I are on the same path. You should come with us. The fuck does that mean?
That's a damn fine question.
So
I don't know.
I want to attack the Maeve plot line because if I think because I've gotten the feeling that there's a lot of dude and dudettes on the internet that are starting to not be sure about the way this show is going, and it's starting to lose them. There's some people whose suspension of disbelief or willing to buy some of this high-minded up its ass bullshit is coming to an end, and they're starting to like get antsy. And I think if you're in that crowd, this episode might have, because you're seeing Maeve is going to go fucking walk in this valley for 30 miles, leaving all her badasses, taking no weapon. Like, she's going to go, first of all, she's expecting to find her daughter there, which why the hell would she expect that when it's been several days of this maniac park? Oh, by the way, Ghost Nation happens to ride out and to reenact their, like, bullshit kidnapping and killing scenario at the same time. Like, that's pretty good timing. But now I'm going to defend it. From my suspension and disbelief still intact frame point of view, I mean, Maeve is very smart, and we like her, but she's really naive, like literally like a newborn. You know, she's got all of her 99% of her life experiences have been fictionalized manipulations and stories, and that's not real life experience. So. Like, the fact that it never occurred to her that her daughter might be gone or her daughter might have been replaced or that
have a new mother.
Have a new mother, for example.
Like, this look of shock on her face, a bulk app perception pinned at the very top of the charts.
Right.
And she didn't put those concepts together.
But I feel like that's, since it makes sense if all your life has been a story that you would not consider about what would happen if your plans don't work out. Because the other crucial thing is since Maeve has been awakened, pretty much all of her plans have worked out. Like, there might have been temporary setbacks, but they led to more awesome things, like her having mental power over all the robots. So I guess I'm still digging it, but I can understand why people are like, the hell is going on?
Yeah, no, I thought it was all pretty solid, you know, with some minor quibbles about, like, those types of internet-y, nitpicky things.
Yeah. I do want to say there's a couple things I didn't like about this episode. Where are you at with, like, the gratuitous, pointless violence? Like, nailing Peter Abernathy to that fucking table with a literal giant, like, first of all, 15-yard flag for a self-congratulatory, way too obvious Christ imagery, right?
Okay, yeah.
That's like, that. Come on.
With the nails.
Come on. Second, that's the best way, that's the most effective way to restrain these robots, really,
apparently,
with that laboratory?
Yeah, I guess so.
That's just torture porn at this point.
It seems like it. It was also, I thought, pretty awful CG.
Mm.
Those nails were moving around a little weird to me.
Yeah.
But
I also, if we're going to get really petty, that pile of Japanese samurai corpses, that was some, like, I think they got some of those severed limbs from the King's Island's Fright Fest. Like, from the slaughterhouse. Those are fucking foam rubber latex with, it's like, come on, man. You can't just go to, what is the big haunted house out in L.A.? Everyone always talks about something farms or Landshire farms, whatever. You can't just go to them and get their rejects and call it good, man.
No, I think these are the sector, what is it, sector 19? Folks who were carting around those really fake ass looking bodies.
Right.
I think those are the
could
hosts.
Be. It could
be. They don't trust them with the good parts.
I also like the heart ripping out scene. That could be like literally a tale right out of Japanese literature, and you're playing homage to it. So
no,
it's like,
I have a question about like what is this ceremony that
she's
doing?
It seems extreme, but like, you know, whatever. And the other thing, I like Bernard getting strapped and getting his brain ripped out with no pain dulling. Like, go fuck yourself. I've seen Elsie just hook up a laptop to you and, like, make you ignore noxious stimuli and keep surviving even though you shouldn't and reboot your brain. Like, she's got no time to, like, do some, like, turn off pain receptors. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, she's got your tablet still, right?
Which just is, like, I get it. Bernard's really badass for letting that happen to himself, but...
Yeah.
One last thing. I don't like this mustache guy. Because, in my experience, guys that act like this are not...
Muldoon.
Muldoon?
His name isn't Muldoon, but he might as well be the Raptor Hunter from
Jurassic
Park.
Underneath his combat gear, he's wearing khaki socks pulled all the way up to his knee.
Absolutely, he is.
And he's going to say, you're a clever girl to Dolores. Uh-huh. I feel you 100% on that. He's a fucking cartoon character. Like, I hope that I'm picking up what they're putting down, and I'm not supposed to take this guy seriously, that he's going
to
be...
Well, here's the problem. He's the guy you are supposed to take seriously because he is the lampshade for the shitty security that we have seen up till now.
I'm not buying it. Because this guy... This reads to me as a wannabe professional, as a guy who's very insecure, and everything about him and how dismissive he is about the people who work there.
You know what? He, to me, is... Jesse the Body Ventura in Predator. Like, he'll roll
again,
in.
Again, a cartoon character.
Yes, an absolute cartoon character. Muscles bigger than brains.
Right.
Ego bigger than his muscles, even.
Yeah, and I don't know that that's... I mean, I'm hoping that he'll be exposed as a buffoon, because if he ends up being, like, a real true badass and super... I'm like,
I think he's going to get his guts ripped out.
You think so?
Yeah, Dolores is going to roll in, Teddy's going to roll in, and he's not going
to... That's true, they already got that. They already rammed the train through the tunnel, so to speak.
Is that a pleasure palace?
I don't know. I had the image of that GIF of the tunnel. Have you seen that, like, the cartoon train, like, for? Okay,
I haven't.
Let's just keep moving then, I guess.
Yeah, I'm really curious. So when Emily's talking to her dad, the Man in Black, she mentions that Charlotte sent her a gauntlet invite. She uses the words gauntlet invite. What is a gauntlet invite?
I don't know.
What is the gauntlet?
I don't know.
Through all the parts survive?
Here's one thing I'll say. I noticed the closed captioning tonight was god-awful.
Oh, maybe it was that,
Teddy's like, you said you want to leave at Stump. And then they attributed Elsie as Hale.
Oh, Jesus.
And there was one other, like, god-awful, like, what the hell? And so, like, it's... I think she said gauntlet invitation.
I think so.
Like, maybe it's more of, like, do you have the balls to come here and celebrate this thing?
Could be.
After you're estranged from your dad. I don't know.
Have the balls to come here and make up with your dad.
Right. Like, this is an invitation, but it's also a gauntlet I'm throwing. Like, it could be that. I thought it was a weird phrasing. And also could have been terrible.
I'm kind of intrigued by the idea that there would be this gauntlet where you go through all of the parks.
Yeah.
And try and get, like, I don't know, trying to achieve something.
Some kind of Kessel Run.
You get so many scalps
out of Westworld, so many katanas out of...
you gotta find the maze, you gotta find the door, you gotta find the Felix body chute. Yeah. I really love that scene when he jumps right down that... That body chute. That was pretty funny.
I don't know. There's the other thing I really liked about the Emily and the Man in Black or William scene.
Mm-hmm.
Is this is another, parent-offspring relationship, and it also ties into the theme of, it puts him apart from, like, the Dolores and the Maves of the world, because they're, like, doing all these things to save and protect their family, where he's, like, running headlong in danger to try to, you know, not caring about hurting his family. But I also like, he explicitly said, are you threatening versus, and she says, no, I'm asking you. Which is the dichotomy between Maeve and Dolores. And I'm not sure exactly what they're doing with that, but I think that you're supposed to notice those things.
Yeah, there's a lot about what path you're on and choosing your own path and that kind of thing
exactly.
in this episode.
Yeah.
I'm looking to wrap my head more around that.
It was nice for Maeve to get hoisted up on her own petard.
It was. That she threw right back in her face those words about path.
Yep. Really like the samurai fight scene. And that's one thing I sat up and noticed because I did a bunch of research on that Musashi, his namesake, the actual legendary Japanese swordsman. And one thing that I learned in reading is that he's known as being a master of this particular two sword technique.
Okay.
Where he emphasized fighting with your katana and I forget what the smaller sword is called, but you're like he considered it like you know, be an amateur hour if I want to talk like Mustache Muldoon. Think he might, that might be the character's name from now on.
Probably.
But yeah, it's real amateur hour shit if a samurai can't use both blades equally well and at the same time.
Yeah.
So a lot of the Japanese art that they had on like a wiki page just shows him like, you know, like 16th century illustrations of him like swords akimbo.
Nice.
And I struck the pose in a podcast because why the fuck not?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff with, like, this simulation that Bernard's now in, and it's running. And, like,
right.
I just have, like, so many things I want to talk about. Not enough time here to do it, but
right.
We'll do it on Tuesday.
I mean, I'm very curious about... Because I buy the Cradles the simulation thing, and I buy that Ford could be hiding out in it, but, like, what I'm going to have trouble understanding is Bernard's going in there to investigate the corrupted code.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? He's going to, like, look into a rain barrel and see some... I mean, how are they going to visually represent that? Because I've been praising in the last few weeks Legion and the way they do this, where it's just very fantasy and metaphor. Like, mm-hmm. like they just... Like Legion a couple weeks ago showed a human being being uploaded to a mainframe, and it looked like being drugged into a Garden of Eden and a tree growing its roots into your brain, and then you wake up in a steel box with ones and zeros being rear projected. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a single fucking problem because it's a comic book show and that's how they roll.
Right.
Westworld is really got this high-tech shit going, and I think they're kind of handcuffed to that, and it's going to be very tricky for them to kind of sell that imagery in a way that I think mm-hmm. is going to be satisfying to the fan base they've cultivated.
Yeah.
You can't just be like, yada yada, oh, you know, it's kind of an emotional kind of thing. You got to really, I think, get to the nitty gritty, at least for me. All right. At this point in the episode, we turned it over to the chat and started interacting with them, and they asked us questions, made comments, and we based the rest of the episode on that. It's called the Instant Talk format, and you have to be a club member to participate and enjoy the output of. So if you'd like to check that out, you can go to club.baldmove.com, sign up now. We're currently having a Westworld sale. If you can use WW2018 as your checkout code, you can save 25% off of an annual membership. Pretty sweet deal. But yeah, Instant Talk, club.baldmove.com.